What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back, and we're going to be here until... I'm Eric, by the way.
And I'm Dennis.
Didn't do that for a little bit. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, helping you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And speaking of concerns, we have a friend on the line who's been on our program a few times already, Tatiana Jordan from BARC. They are out there protecting kids on the internet. You there, Tatiana?
I am. How are you?
Hey, good, good. How are you doing?
I'm great.
So we saw the news. You've got, you know, Florida passing laws to keep kids off the internet, where sites are just shutting down. And of course, VPN usage is spiking. So people are getting to the same source using VPNs. You see the Brits now are out there by July. They say that you need to have some sort of highly effective way to keep kids off the porn. You've been in the business of protecting children from this stuff, not just porn, but all sorts of dangerous things on the internet for a very long time. So I thought, what are your perspective is on this? What should lawmakers really do if they really want to make this work?
Wow, great question. Lawmakers would, instead of making the onus live on the pornography websites, which they absolutely hold responsibility, they would also hold accountable tech companies like Apple, who know the age of the user, if that user has given their correct birth date, and can help to prevent these things from being accessed. It also takes work on behalf of companies like Google, and again, Apple with Safari, to help with browser level restrictions if they know the age of the user. Now, where we come in at BARC is using parental controls, and that's where I can speak most eloquently, which is essentially, you know, as a parent, you can't rely on Pornhub, Google, Apple, whomever to do this for you. But what you can do is utilize parental controls. And the good news is there's a lot of free options at your disposal, but you have to think about it in a layered approach. So first, how does the internet come into your home? Who do you pay every month for your internet? Chances are they have filters you can set up for free. Call them, chat with them, email them, tweet them or X them. You know what I mean? Like reach out to them, set those up. Also, then you think about what can your child access in terms of devices? What devices connect to that internet? Each one of those devices also has parental controls you can set up. Set them up, block those sites, make sure they can't access content above, you know, age 12 or however old they are. So filtering your Wi-Fi, filtering the devices. Obviously, you can use something like BARC, but there's free options at your disposal as well.
Yeah, OpenDNS we've recommended for a very, very long time. It's a great filter as well.
So
you definitely have responsibility. You've definitely talked about the actual devices, because these devices, they do know the age for the most part of the user.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And they need to participate in some of this stuff. If they're going to be, again, allowing these kids to have access to it. They should really participate in protecting them from it, too. The problem is, too, that the parents, they're going to say they don't know how to do this. I mean, if you think back to VCRs and TiVo, TiVo came about because people couldn't even program the clock on their VCR.
That's true.
Remember the old days? They were literally called 12 o'clock flashers. And you'd have your VCR blinking 12 o'clock because people couldn't figure it out. TiVo comes out. So I do hear you on the parental controls, and I agree with you. Sadly, though, there's so few parents, well, that'll maybe even take that initiative, but then are technically capable. And then, of course, when the problems occur, right? So the kid's got to do some research. I've actually fell victim to this myself. My son wanted to do some research on some Japanese baseball players. My filter was blocking him. I lowered the filter. Instantly, malware in the house, right? So, so the problem with that filtration concept is it's a good thing, but I really think it needs to be the lawmakers nailing the content providers.
You're not wrong there.
Right.
And if I may, you know, it's not just a tech issue. It's not just a legal issue. It's a parenting issue.
Yes.
And so quickly on the tech issue, I get it. Most people are not super tech savvy. Not a problem. You now have Google. You can Google how to do things. And if you know how to read, you can follow the directions. It is there for you.
Good point.
Not only that, but there's a there's also a Facebook group called Parenting in a Tech World that you can join and ask parents like me who are there to help you. There's almost 600,000 parents in that group. But back to the parenting thing, outside of, you know, filtering, and I get it, it's overwhelming, but we can help you. Mm-hmm. Not that hard. You just got to follow the directions. It comes down to the location of the devices. You know, don't let kids have connected tech behind closed doors, in their bedrooms, in bathrooms, overnight. That will mitigate a lot of the access. And then also conversations. If you can talk to your child about this elephant in the room called pornography, which you absolutely should, they will be more comfortable coming to talk to you when it's like, hey, I stumbled upon this. Like, what is it? What do I do? You know, you got to just clear the air, address these uncomfortable topics candidly, and let them know that, hey, there's nothing wrong with consensual sex. Because that's how we're all on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a form of media that is addictive and harmful and can hinder your future ability to have a healthy sexual relationship. And that is why we are talking about not accessing this, not because we're prudes, but because it's not healthy for you.
Right. Exactly. Thank you for not. I agree. We're not prudes here. We're geeks. We want to make sure, and we want to make sure our kids are safe. So Bark has all sorts of great products and technologies and ways for parents to do this. I mean, school systems are here in Connecticut are just now saying, you know what, those phones in the classrooms are a bad idea. You just mentioned phones in the bathroom, so it's like, how do you confiscate the kid? You know, he's heading to the bathroom there. And you're like, oh, I mean, can I grab your phone there before you go? I mean, you almost need one of those pouches that the schools are using outside the bathroom door. Hang your phone on the door.
Yeah, I mean,
that's got to be tough. That'll be tough. You know,
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm just thinking of how you practically apply it. I've been a parent. My boys are all grown up now. And just to try to think of that practical application seems difficult. And that's, again, why by the year 2025, again, when I grew up, it was very hard to get a hold of porn, no matter how hard I tried as a non-prude young adult there. It was very hard to do. Now it's so ridiculously easy. And it's got to be damaging our society. Why is it okay? Why do we allow these deliverers of this to not protect our kids from it? It just seems that our society has gotten to a point where it's like, whatever, they're just kids. I mean, I know in the 50s, you know, kids were just meant to be, seen, not heard or something like that. They didn't really care. Kids were even around. Nowadays, it's like they're all treated like they're adults. It's just, I would think that there's some sort of advocacy group out there that's going to put the onus on the purveyor of the pornography.
Well, there is. The COSI, the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, was very present yesterday on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
They work hard to advocate for the rights of children and victims and survivors. There's plenty of people who are angry, rightfully so, and working to fight this. However, the pornography industry has a lot of money, right?
Yep.
Incredibly lucrative industry, and they can pay for the lobbyists to fight this. And also some of the people in positions of power to make the decisions are also consumers of this very thing. So it's a deep rabbit hole to go down.
Well, so you're saying that our legislators are being impacted by the smut purveyors because they want to keep the smut going. But how can every law be out there and put out for the children and not this one? You know, every lawmaker puts out all these laws. I mean, I remember in the 90s all the time, oh, we're doing it for the children. We're doing it for the children. How can we not do this for the children? So you're right. It's a powerful lobby. So if you are a lawmaker and you still see that this is available to children online, do you look yourself in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm okay with it? Like you said, we're not prudes, but these kids should not be seeing this stuff. Now, as far as getting involved with BARC, the tools that you guys offer that parents can apply, what are you guys doing?
So anybody that's interested about what is this BARC thing?
Right.
It's essentially a digital guard dog for your family's internet safety. Mm-hmm. You can go to BARC.us. That's our website, not .com. That's a different company, BARC.us. Mm-hmm. And we've been in the business since 2015, helping to protect now over 7.4 million children across the nation with our safer smartphone for kids, our safer smartwatch for kids, our app that monitors, blocks, restricts, filters, sets time limits for kids. We have a device that goes in your home that connects to your router that can help with the sort of filtering and monitoring. You know, we offer digital tools to help families let their kids have a safer experience with tech if and when it's time for their kids to access tech.
And what's your recommendation on that? The age keeps getting younger and younger, it seems. What is your guidelines say kids should be accessing tech in general?
Great question. I love this question. I would say the later you can wait, the better. Delay is the way. No child has had a better childhood from having earlier access to tech, period. Ask any parent, happy to be proven wrong, haven't been to date.
Yeah.
And if and when it is time for your child to have access to tech, make sure you're limiting the time. Kids' bodies need to move. They don't need to be in front of a screen, you know, for more than 30 minutes to 2 hours a day, depending on their age and stage.
Mm-hmm.
And when it is time, you know, opt for safer tech. Open iPhone, not safe for kids. A BARC phone, another type of safer smartphone, can actually be locked down and given to your child with you being able to have peace of mind because you have that control. So just do your research. Just go back to Google.
Yeah.
Whenever you want to get your kids something, put the word safer in front of it and see what else is out there.
That's a good point. I mean, when our kids were little, it was just Baby Mozart that we had. That was the only tech we had. We played Baby Mozart. It's going to make your kids smarter. But putting a screen, I mean, we see kids, my wife and I, it's like we're in restaurants and we see these kids that are like so little and so young and they've got screens in their hand. It's like they just feel like they're being like programmed. It can't be healthy. It's just gone crazy. But we really appreciate you being on our program to talk about this, Tatiana. Keep us involved. Keep us aware. I mean, if there's anything that comes down the pike, we are interested in figuring out ways to protect kids from what's on the internet. And we really want to support what you're doing and figure out technological ways to make it easy. Because you're right. People can just Google it. But I mean, if people can just Google 2FA and they don't turn that on either. So it's got to be easy, you know?
I know. You're so right. We will keep beating this drum until we feel that more children are safer online. But it's not happening anytime soon, so we'll keep talking about it.
It's crazy. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. All right, Tatiana Jordan from BARC.us.
Yes.
Because if you go to the wrong site.
Yeah, you're not going to get the right thing.
So we do appreciate her being on the program with us this morning. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break, get to more of your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
All right, so definitely check out bark.us. If you want to figure out ways to protect your kids from what's on the internet, because, I mean, we've had FBI agents on this show before talking about just the work they did in their career and how just he spent most of his career as like a 15-year-old girl. You know, it's just crazy out there as far as what's going on.
Right. And we should be clear that a lot of the parental controls that we're talking about aren't just about access to porn sites.
Right.
It's about people accessing your children and in some cases being trafficked. Mm-hmm. If they make contact with the wrong people.
Right.
And all of these parental controls can contribute to, you know, keeping your kids safe in those regards.
So yeah, check out bark.us. And as we wait for your calls, we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And, you got some news you want to bring up there, Dennis, huh?
Yeah, we've got automakers behaving badly.
Yep.
In one case, we've got GM releasing location data for cars, you know, GM cars.
Yeah. With
OnStar on board, and that's the engine that drives the data.
Yep.
Or gets it from each car. And it's being sold to big data brokers by GM.
Right.
And then the data brokers sell it to auto insurers.
Right.
And then the auto insurers will figure out where you're going and then crank up your rates because they think you're not being a responsible driver.
Which we do see plenty of that on the road.
Right. Now, the problem with this is that GM claims that they disclose that this happens.
Oh.
However, there have been stories, in the different media, outlets. Mm-hmm. And reporters have pretty much shown, proven mm-hmm. that you don't get any kind of notice about this.
Right.
When you get your car and you create your profile with GM, none of this is disclosed to you. Right. And it's not disclosed at the time of the closing on the new car either. Mm-hmm. It's not in any of that paperwork.
And I think Allstate, I was on with Brian on Tech Tuesday, and we talked about Allstate and what they were doing with their app on your phone.
So that is another problem. It's related, but it's similar. They're using the information they can get against you.
Right. And again, you may not be aware of it, or they're selling the data. And again, this comes down to just privacy rights. And again, being told that we already know when it's free, you're the commodity. We've talked about that forever, but nobody expected their OnStar to track where they're going and then have their data sold to a data broker so that their insurance rates could go up.
Right.
That's not quite.
Yeah, nobody ever put that together, and they wouldn't, because why would they?
Well,
I mean,
people freaked out just about the Easy Pass transponders on their cars. They know where you're going, Eric, with that transponder. Oh, do they? But in this case, when you have an actual device connected to the satellite, you probably shouldn't be too surprised that the capability's there. But it should be required that they let you know and then give you the ability to opt out if you do not want to have that data tracked. But if you think about every app on your phone, all of them want location data.
That's true.
All of them do.
They do.
And if you say yes to it all the time, all these apps are selling your data. So you guys just woke up. All of our calls are, our lines are all jammed up, which is great. Ooh. Happy to have you. Let's go to your questions first. We're going to go to Wes in Middletown first. Hey, Wes, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the show again. It's been a long, long time since I've called, and you guys always do a great job. So
well,
appreciate
you.
It. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you.
Couple questions. One of these probably sound very simple, and the other one goes back to the earlier question about using Microsoft, Excel, Word, and going down that path of either buying or that. I saw on a YouTube video the other day that I use Macs at my house, and they said that you could easily use the Apple products, their Numbers, Pages, instead of, I'm just retired, and so work from home. I don't even work. I just am retired.
Yeah.
I should clarify that. And that would be easier to do, and I can still work with the Excel documents, the Word documents, and have really no issue. What are your thoughts about that?
Apple's products are Pages, Numbers, and Keynote.
Hmm.
That's Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. Now, they do open and read, those formats. The compatibility is not precise, but I would say 95% of the time you're going to get a usable document. The one thing that is different is Keynote versus PowerPoint. It will open PowerPoint files, but sometimes the compatibility is a little lower with that. I would say maybe 80% instead of 95%. Then there are, of course, there are people that will tell you that Keynote is superior to PowerPoint anyway.
Mm.
That's up for debate. I've used both. I tend to use PowerPoint mostly because I live in the Microsoft world.
Yeah.
And of course I have PowerPoint on my Mac. So, that's just what I'm going to go to. Not that there's anything wrong with those. If you find that those work for you, have a ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
My big concern was, like you said, or the gentleman who called earlier said, I've been paying for the Microsoft 365 because I came from a PC world, but I've always used Macs at home, and so I always wanted to have the compatibility back and forth. But since being retired, I don't really see any purpose in paying the $69 a year. Plus,
I would kind of agree that you can probably get away with Pages and Numbers instead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That's
all right.
Great. The second question has to do with.
Hang on first. Okay. We have a hard break coming up, Wes. So you get the question out really quick.
Okay. It probably sounds simple, but I don't think it is. I use iCloud for the backup, but I also do a disk backup onto like a Samsung T7 type little disk.
Yeah.
Am I truly being good in doing that, or am I missing something?
All right. We'll tackle that when we come back from the break, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you.
I'm going to put you on hold. All right. We'll get to Wes's question, and we got a couple Jeffs squared on the line, and one line open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. And we are back, and we're going to get right back to Wes, and he was talking about backup of his Apple device, right, Wes?
That is correct. Yeah, I have, like I said, I have Macs and iPhones, and again, for years and years, but you know, I've always tried to make sure I do backups back for listening to your show for years.
Good.
And I just want to make sure that using, you know, it may not be the best solution, but at least it's, you know, it's, as a retired person, it's something I can afford,
yeah.
Which is doing the disk backup on a removable disk like that, as well as using iCloud, so I have something offsite.
Right. So are you using Time Machine then, the built-in backup?
Yes, I am.
All right, good. That is a good backup.
Oh, yeah. That's for my money, that's the single best backup system that I can think of that I have ever seen anywhere.
Now, do you have
multiple? Oh, that's great.
That's a pretty high endorsement. Do you have multiple pieces of media, or is it just one disc?
Well, that is the thing. I have always used just one, but I am in the process of buying a second disc, and I'm thinking about like every maybe couple, 2 or 3 months, swapping them out so that I always have a... newer one. And that was kind of the question, as long as I have iCloud, I should always have a copy. Mm. But, you know, you always hear about these data breaches and such, as you guys always talk every week.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, as long as I have both, I should be in pretty good shape.
Well, you always should have an A and B media. You want to have multiple shots at your data in case that beautiful backup that Dennis just talked about writes to a bad sector on the hard drive, and the hard drive
can't be read.
So you want multiple shots because stuff happens.
Yep.
And then the iCloud backup. So it's kind of a misnomer as being a backup. It's a synchronization. And we've seen plenty of instances, even across our own client base, where the synchronization actually removes the file from the cloud. And then, of course, you're scrambling for a restoration. You guess what? You don't have it because you're not backing up the iCloud, right? So companies like us actually back up our customers' cloud instances of Microsoft 365 because, just so you guys know out there, your people and your businesses can delete emails on purpose or by accident, or files on purpose or by accident, that Microsoft does not retain. They have a small window of retention, but their service is only there to be available. They do not, I repeat, not care about your data.
No.
At all.
No.
So you need to back it up.
Wow.
So what you're doing is fine. However, it can burn you too. Depending on when that synchronization happens, how it happens, it can actually remove files that you thought you were backing up. So an offsite backup is a good idea. There are other options for offsite backup rather than Microsoft by third parties if you wanted to pay for them. But you talked about maybe getting rid of your 365 account, correct?
That is right.
So you might end up losing that because Microsoft keeps changing the free available space on these iCloud drives. At some point, they're going to start charging you, and who knows, it could be $69 a month just to store your stuff. And they're going to be like, you're going to pay it because they have all your stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the other issue, is you kind of lose control when you put it out there. So what you're doing with a local backup is a good idea. I would do an A and a B. And you can keep the iCloud going there as long as you want, but understand it's not a fail-safe backup.
Yeah.
That's great news.
I was going to say there is a protocol for using Time Machine with two drives, and Apple has an article about that, and I got to thank Mike G for pointing it out. You can actually have both of the drives on the computer, and it will alternate backups between the two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we'll post an article about it so that you can set it up.
That'll be super.
It's from
That's super.
Apple.
Great.
Yep.
Great. Can I just make one more comment, if you don't mind?
Real quick.
Real quick. You know how the cost of the internet keeps going up, and I know you keep talking about net speed and all the other things that are out there.
Yeah.
Some of us live in an area where you can't get any of that stuff. All we have to us is the typical cable or Frontier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the cable's been going up and going up, and my point is, you need to call. My internet bill went up $35 in 2 months.
Yeah.
And all I did is call, and I now have two times the speed for $45 a month and still stayed with Xfinity.
Okay.
Totally crazy, I know, but you got to just be diligent about making the call and having that conversation.
Yeah, and I think now they're going to be more and more receptive as they're losing so many subscribers to the competition that they really can't afford to lose you anymore. They used to be like, I don't care, Wes, you're going to have to pay for it. You'd hear tons of stories about folks not getting the result you did. But I would contend that thanks to these other competitors in there, the wireless competitors, the fiber competitors, they're going to start, I hope it starts to hurt where they actually provide quality service at a fair price.
I agree.
So good. I'm glad it worked for you.
Yeah. And that's just a note to everybody out there. Don't think you're just locked in. You can't do something. You can fight back, I think, if you just try a little harder.
Yeah. Now let's work on Eversource, huh?
Yeah, right. So much for that.
Yeah. That's becoming
thank you, guys. You do a great job.
Oh, no, thank you, Wes.
Take care. All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Wouldn't that be nice if we could figure out how to do this with Eversource? Because, man, oh, man, what a mess that is. Let's go to Jeff in Coventry. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Enjoy your show. Longtime listener.
Thank you.
Hey, last time we talked, I usually call you guys when I'm in the market to replace my computer. So it's been about 15 years.
Whoa.
Wow.
You 15 years?
It was nice talking to you when you had hair.
You must have bought one heck of a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what I got. I got an old HP Compact DC 5850.
All right.
Okay.
I bought it used from Kaplan when they used to be in business in Vernon there.
Oh, gosh. That's even older than 15 years.
Yep. So it has always done good for me. It's got Windows 10 on it still, and I guess Windows 10 is going to be non-supported right at the towards the end of this year. So I need to upgrade and get out of this. So I don't game. You know, I have a pretty standard user, the Microsoft Office suite. Quicken, do a lot of photo editing and stuff like that for online sales.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking for guidance if I'm going to go out there into the jungle and look for a replacement computer.
Yeah.
What are some basic things that I should be keeping in mind? I mean, even brand. I don't know if HP is what they used to be or et cetera, et cetera. What should I be looking for?
Yeah, we still recommend HP. We've had good luck with it. The Envy line of laptops are a great choice.
Yeah, they're very good.
Metal case. Make sure that the machine is metal, not plastic. As far as specs, looking for the latest generation of processor, so a 13th or 14th gen CPU. If you can get 16 gigs of RAM, that'd be nice. That should be your default base. And then, you know, up to a terabyte of solid state hard drive, it should be plenty. So a nice i5 current gen, 16 gigs of RAM, terabyte solid state drive and an HP Envy laptop would do very well for you. It may not last as long as the last one did, but it'll do well.
Right. So this would be a desktop for me in this case. Okay.
Desktop, same idea. I don't know what line of HP desktops out there. We don't sell their desktops.
Right. And as far as looking at Intel versus others, is there still an advantage with Intel, or are they kind of backslidden a little bit to the competitors?
I don't know what Intel is doing, frankly. They are blowing up as a company. It's just a mess as far as I'm concerned. It's sad. It's a sad American company going down the tubes. They better get their act together quick, but they're still the biggest out there. So you're welcome to look at AMD as an alternative. They are definitely an alternative that has powerful systems too. There's no reason you shouldn't. Our indication has always been to go to Intel because that's just what we see so much in the market, so much in the business world. And there's still incompatibilities across certain CPUs that you can find across softwares. So I'm disappointed in Intel, if you can tell. I'm very disappointed that it's gone the direction it's gone. And I hope they get their act together and continue to do better. But they're a mess.
Okay. And one other thing, my wife actually got a laptop a couple years ago. One of the things I think we had to be careful of was, I think it was an S model where it basically will not allow you to download without going through the Microsoft Store, non-Microsoft software. What is that about, and what should I be doing?
Here's the deal. What you got is Windows.
Yep.
Okay. The computer has everything in it that it needs to run any application. The problem is that there's basically a switch in the operating system in the S mode that prevents it from installing external apps. It'll right. only install from the store.
Right.
There is in the store yeah. an app. Mm-hmm. The name of the app is, I think, Switch Out of S Mode. You install I'm serious. You install this app and yeah. you run it and it will switch out of S Mode.
S Mode is a okay. secure mode.
It's yeah, that's supposed to be secure, and I guess it is, but it basically makes the computer unusable.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. especially in the business world, there's never a time
right.
when you can get away with only running Microsoft Store apps.
Okay.
But at any rate, what you're doing is just switching that flag off, and then the computer will behave like a normal Windows computer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can post the link to how to get rid of that, but it really is as simple as I said. Just mm-hmm. go to the store, enter Switch Out of S Mode, get that app, run it, and then you're done. The one thing it will do is it will warn you mm-hmm. that you can't go back.
Which is fine.
With yeah, I mean,
we've never seen anybody want to go back.
Believe me, you are not.
Never.
What you're going to be doing is saying, you know, don't let the door hit your in the backside yeah. on your way out. I am done with S mode.
And so, basically, okay. Microsoft's trying to become Apple, right? They want it. It's hard to buy an Apple app outside the App Store.
Well, that's a good point, because out of the box, Mac OS will also not allow you to install an external app.
Right.
You have to go into the system preferences and tell it that you want to do that.
Right. So Microsoft's like, well, if they can do it, we can do it too.
Right.
So this is just not all helpful. Right. All right, Jeff.
Thank you for your appreciate it. And I'll talk to you again in 2040.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. 2040, oh my gosh. Let's go on to Jeff in Marlboro. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, I'm another Jeff.
Yep.
A couple towns over from him,
yeah.
the other Jeff. You know, that was an interesting conversation with that Tatiana person.
Yeah.
You know, the main thing is parents have got to take the responsibility for this stuff. They can't just hand stuff over to the kids and just walk away and say, oh, I don't care what's going to happen. They can do whatever they want. It's their responsibility.
It is, and I don't disagree with anything you've said. However, it's so hard. And again, I was a parent. It's hard to be a parent these days with this technology out there. You know, in the old days, we would run around until the lights went off, but you really couldn't get access to anything inappropriate. I couldn't get access to alcohol, drugs, porn. I couldn't do it. And again, in some cases, I tried. But you couldn't do it. Nowadays, you can. I mean, you can have somebody DoorDash alcohol to your house as a kid if you wanted to. It's really bad. So you're not wrong about the parental unit's responsibility, but we're sure making it easy. And why are we? Why is it tech gets that free ride all the time? You know, we appreciate the free ride it got in the 90s where the regulation was pulled off and we ended up finally with the interwebs and all that stuff. But it's causing harm, right? I mean, we need to look at properly regulating those entities that are out there that should be regulated. And I'm a libertarian. I don't want a lot of regulation. But for crying out loud, it's still the year 2025, and we still have no way to keep kids off porn?
Yeah, I mean, how do those gambling websites like I forgot what they are.
Yeah, I know.
How do they stop kids from getting on, or do they even stop kids from getting on? They must have some security-type checks, don't they?
Well, by definition, you're spending money, and that means you've got a credit card.
Right, and they geofence
that
you.
Is kind of a barrier. Also, yes, they do geofencing.
Which you can get around with VPNs.
Yeah.
But they're going to make put a credit card in there.
Actually, some of those sites can detect when you're on a VPN.
And then not allow you to go.
And then, yeah.
Which, again, the porn site should be forced to do, too.
Yeah.
So there are ways. These gambling sites have had more regulations put in them to keep kids off.
Wow. So. And just one real quick last thing.
Yeah.
You had mentioned a Chrome stick. I purchased a Roku 4K streaming stick from Walmart.
Yeah.
That is the best thing in the world. And I'm going to get rid of my Comcast cable.
Yeah.
I mean, I can watch so many things like old Star Treks and Munsters and MST3K shows. You know, it's just so many things that for free. And I know people complain about Frontier. Mm-hmm. I have Frontier fiber. I have had no problems using it. It doesn't buffer or anything. It is the best thing in the world. So that's another option. Go to Walmart for $49, $50. You can get a 4K streaming stick.
Yep, you got the Google, you got the Roku.
And it sounds like somebody's been watching Pluto on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Pluto has the Star Trek.
He does. It's great.
And during the L.A. wildfires, you can watch like KNBC out of Los Angeles, and yeah. I was watching live, you know, their broadcast. It's amazing what you can do, and it's all free. You got to be careful that, you know, you don't sign up for something accidentally, but I think it's the best thing in the world.
Sounds good, Jeff. I appreciate the endorsement.
Okay. Hey, have a good day.
You too.
Okay.
Bye. All right, bye-bye. All right, we got to step out before Carolyn kills me. Steve and Gary, hang on. We'll be right back. All right. That's a little no BS brass you've been listening to. And we are here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to Steve first in Waterbury. What's happening, Steve?
So my first question is, can you say switch out of S mode 10 times fast?
Switch out of S mode, switch out of S mode, switch out of S mode.
It's a lot to say.
Anyways, with AI being what it is today, I understand that they could actually take a person's voice and falsify things, and that's a big concern for fraud. I'm just one. I'd never answer a phone number I don't recognize or a text message or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you get these people that, you know, say the grandchild is in jail, we need to send money, whatever.
Right.
Do you guys have any suggestions on that?
Oh, so no, they can sample your voice. They can, I mean, heck, Dennis and I have been on the air for long enough. I'm sure our voice has been sampled if you can. So the bad guys can try to social engineer you with this technology. When you say you don't answer a phone, that number that you don't know, the problem is there's tools out there and they're used right now where people can call you and just put in an 860 area code. It's actually part of recruiting to get you to answer the phone. Again, it's tough to avoid that unless you have. I've turned on my Google Assistant and I don't answer my phone anymore unless somebody sits through the Google Assistant and then says something to the Google Assistant that I can then read. And if it's a real person, I'll answer. Right? So the AI is a problem. I know a lot of banks and technology are using our voice now for security, right? But if they can take your voice and use it again, so. It's an interesting thing, but you've heard all these scams, right? So when people call you and say they've got so-and-so kidnapped or whatever, I think we've all finally agreed it's almost like the Nigerian prince, right? Hopefully we're not going to fall for those things, but we're all human, and I don't know of any protections out there.
Right. I was just going to interrupt before. I don't answer an 860 or 203 area code, like I said, unless it's in my phone directory. And then I'll look it up afterwards. I'll do a search engine on it and find out. But I just wanted to hear, like I said, your thoughts on it and stuff. Yeah. And I do appreciate your
I wish there was a way to defeat it. Because if you think about it, there was an Obama AI deepfake that was brought up back in 2016 by either Key or Peel. I can't remember which one.
And
this has been going on since 2016. So deep fakes and all this
probably
stuff.
Before that too.
Yeah, and I just saw an AI rendering of an artificial person that you can pretty much type in whatever you want, and this person looks so real you won't even need newscasters anymore. You can just take their picture, and instead of having them read the teleprompter is going to feed them, right?
The technology. I do like Discover Card, and that guy's voice, you know, and the way they do it is almost like talking to a real person.
When I
make my payments. But I wonder if there's a way you could actually AI your voice and maybe put some kind of code or something. So.
Oh, right. Water.
Yourself.
Yeah. Watermark your own voice.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I don't know. That's a thought. I don't know. But who knows?
Maybe you guys can make some money off of that idea if you figure it out.
We're not that sharp. We're not sharp enough. We're just everyday geeks. We're not that type of geek. We're not Elon Musk level geeks. We're just everyday geeks. I shouldn't speak for Dennis. He probably is. So.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Yeah, AI is a problem. It's a good thing. It's a bad thing. And it's definitely not ready for prime time in case of all sorts of AI. Let's go on to Gary in Southington, see what he's got going on. Hey, Gary. Hey, Gary, you there?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I just want to say I was listening to the woman that it was talking about putting blocks and safeguards for porn.
Yeah.
Okay, but what she didn't mention is that, you know, I'm not a libertarian, but I'm a conservative, and a lot of the same principles. And I believe, too, that government shouldn't have be, you know, have total oversight of all these programs. But I do with porn.
Yeah.
And there's one party that this will never go over. You're never going to go after these people with the Democrats in power, because they want this. And that's a fact.
You could be right, and that's sad, but I hope you're wrong.
No, there is no question about it. I think you know that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is the sense of fighting something if we're not going to fight it? These people are never going to go for that. They never have. Well, and at least the conservatives probably wouldn't, you know, go for more looking at this and going after the people that are responsible for allowing this on their servers.
I hear you. So at least we'll work on it as we can, one at a time, as individuals. Like people talked about it, you know, your kind of personal responsibility is really a key function of conservatism. So that's where you start.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
So I appreciate that, Gary.
All right.
It's a frustrating topic, and we're all going to try to make the best of it and see how we can protect our kids. I want to thank all you guys for being on the program this morning. We do appreciate it, because without you guys, I'll be talking about my kids and he'll be talking about his cats.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
And thank you, Carolyn, and thank you, Mike G, for everything you guys did. We'll see you guys next Saturday.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.